Welcome to the Sports Brewery Podcast. I'm Alex Braga. Do you like free t-shirts? Do you like gambling? You can join us on the show this season and pick Pac-12 football games with us. All you gotta do to get in on the action is to hit us up on Twitter, at Jeromney, at TSB Ski, or at TSB Pod.
Is that potato salad? Yo, listen, niggas give me the cold shoulder, I can speak for myself. So I keep a hot waist and alligator the belt, ain't got a belt with the holster. I ain't playing games, but got some little niggas who would do it, so I pass the controller. You can press the next out, triangle your nose, pause your life if you squares try to mess with my O's. Whoa.
So it's weird because I don't think the Ducks, you know, Pac-12 season starts for,
I think, until the 12th.
Yeah, like another week or so.
Yeah.
I'm having a really hard time following college basketball at all. and like having a really hard time like feigning interest in it as well.
I think you just got to treat it, just watch it as just a basketball game's on. You know, just there's a sport on. That's about all. Because, like I said, it's Ducks have played one game. Some teams have played like seven games.
As a person who doesn't like, one, I don't have cable. Two, so you know, I would have to actively seek out a basketball game to watch a basketball game. And for college right now, it's like it's probably gonna be the Oregon women. If anything, and by the way, you're not finding them either because their games are streaming on like goducks.com or something like that. So basketball, I don't know if I'm ready for basketball yet. Like, by the way, that said, I did check in on the Ducks a little bit yesterday and, you know, I was like, oh, they're not good. All right. I'm going to go back to playing video games.
No, they'll be fine. It's a classic Dana team. They usually have eight games against scrubs.
Yeah.
We have four returning players, something like that.
Yeah.
And one of them got hurt.
And Will Richardson got hurt. Yeah.
Yeah. So the problem is that they don't have all those games that Dana needs to like dump just to make them, you know, learn how to play defense and stuff. That's the downside this year.
The funny part about just the basketball season in general is that – so Will Richardson gets hurt, right?
Yeah.
And he's out for, what they're saying, six weeks?
Yeah.
That's like half the season.
Well, have you actually looked at the Oregon basketball schedule?
No.
Not much of a schedule.
6 weeks is like five games.
So it's like spread out that much?
Yeah.
Or they just don't play that many games.
So they play Seton Hall tomorrow.
Mm.
And then on the 12th, they play Washington. And then on the 23rd of December, they play UCLA.
It's a big break between games, by the way.
On New Year's Eve, they play Cal. Stanford on the 2nd. And then the Mountain Schools, the 7th and the 9th. And then they go the 18th or the 16th until the next game. So that's not 6 weeks, but today? The third?
If you're going to have 6 weeks, now's the time to have 6 weeks.
Because he's missing like eight.
Because it's December. Like
All right. The problem is those eight games are almost half.
He's still playing like three quarters of the season.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's bizarre.
All right, well, break down yesterday's game for me.
Before the game, I predicted a 1-4 start for Oregon, which means Sweet 16 is on lock, just undeniable. I don't know. Another point guard. And today they got two guys who transferred eligible.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, finally, right? I remember like following Matt Preem on Twitter, and he was salty about that for a while because all these kids like across the country kept getting approved, and then meanwhile the two kids for Oregon have been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, and it seemingly had nothing to do with COVID, and so now they're finally eligible.
Well, the guys they lost, like C.J. Walker and Addison Patterson, are they're all playing.
They're all playing, yeah.
And that's the thing. And it's,
yeah, exactly.
I think Dana came out, like, in the post game and, like, he kind of went at the NCAA. Yeah. Because it sounded like St. John's was, like, trying to help get that Figueroa playing. So it's like, what the hell's going on here?
Yeah. It's Figueroa, and who's the other guy? Because I know I read that the reason he wasn't
Estrada
eligible is because when he transferred, it was to sit out this year.
Oh.
But the Figueroa guy, everyone was like, what the hell?
Yeah, what's taking so long?
Senior.
So well,
but the team was
yeah, I'm under the assumption they are missing Peyton Pritchard right now. Go figure. Conference player of the year. You don't have him anymore.
Well, in fairness, he was really bad in non-conference games last year. So as it was a non-conference game, maybe they didn't miss him too much.
I think watching the game, they were missing.
No,
they were missing
bad. Non-conference last year.
Yeah.
He was missing every important shot.
I don't recall the team being good, like, at all. Like, as a whole.
They're never good in the beginning.
No.
Yeah.
Even, like, the Dylan Brooks team that went to the Elite Eight and then the next year the Final Four, they're always bad in November.
Yeah.
Always. Yeah. Remember they went to the Maui Classic and were just terrible.
Yes.
It's just a Dana thing. It is what it is.
They had very good jerseys, though.
It did.
Maui Invitational jerseys are the best ever by far.
I remember I think it was 2 years ago, like losing to Texas Southern at home.
With Bull Bull going off. With Bull Bull, like 30,
getting abused by this guy. It was like,
here's just
– So that's it. I mean, historically, Oregon basketball, they need this time right now to learn how to basically play defense. Like,
well, especially now because –
The bend your knees thing – it's like that's the thing with Altman is for whatever reason his teams take half the season to figure out how to play defense. Then well, once the they do, is they're dominant.
I think the bigger problem is that I don't know what the deal is. He has so many guys leaving and getting so many grad transfers in that it's, you know, you don't have that continuity really. I mean, you had Pritchard, but usually had most years your teams have, what, 3-4 possibly starters returning?
Yeah. Though this changed the last like 4 or 5 years, it feels like. I feel like he's had some continuity because you had Dylan Brooks, you had, you know, Jordan Bell, you had, you know.
Yeah, that was like 4 years ago now.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying.
That's what happened when you make a deep run with that. But since then, it's like you have some one and dones kind of, and then you have all these transfers come in, and it takes a little while for these transfers and young kids to like mesh together.
Yeah.
And that's why I was saying that I think the bigger thing of the game, why the Ducks kind of struggled, is that they were missing people like Walker and Patterson, who would probably be coming off the bench still. But I think they had 2 points off the bench.
I mean, in fairness, what is your favorite Addison Patterson and CJ Walker moment from last year?
I'm literally like, I have no idea what you're talking about, Ski.
Walker got up and down the court and could dunk and play D.
He could dunk.
Patterson just looked like he was going to develop into a good player.
I think Patterson is would have been better than CJ, even though CJ was a 5-star. Yeah. I did not understand.
Yeah.
What the hell his
the value? Yeah.
It's high school basketball. If you're tall and athletic, you're a 5-star because you're just abusing who you're playing.
Like I got like Nafali Dante 5-star. I got it. I was like, oh, he's tall and sort of athletic. But even in high school, he can't play offense. But, okay, I get it. C.J. Walker, I was like, he's not really tall, and he can't shoot. Eventually, just dunking isn't actually a thing.
He was tall. He's, what, 6'7", 6'8"?
6'8".
In college, for the Ducks, that's damn near a center.
But he just did not look like at any point last year. Not that Dante did either, but – I don't know.
No,
I don't think they're going to miss C.J. Walker.
It was more of, I mean, you look at what came off the bench, like that guy that sat out last year, and then a true freshman, and then some white kid from I never even seen or heard before played like a couple minutes, and that's the bench right now. It's going to be a lot bigger when
– You mean Sabrina's brother?
Not him, no.
Better not some be other talking about Sabrina, white. Brother.
I saw this white kid coming. I was like, Dana's putting one of like, you know, one of the walk-on kids on in the first half. Uh-huh. No, it might have been the first substitution. I was like, what the hell is going on here?
Racist ski over here. If you're a, well, if you're a white kid, you have to be like a team.
When you send in a 5'11 white kid and he plays like 2 minutes, there's a reason.
By the way, like going back to the, you know, because Oregon's trying to play this game now. You know, they're trying to play this one and done game. They're, you know, and what goes along with that, oddly enough, is a lack of success on the court. So, like, Dana's ability to get a guy like Bol Bol, and, you know, he was hurt, whatever. But to get a guy like that and then have success is, you know, kind of difficult to do. I mean, Krzyzewski does it, but he's kind of it because Kentucky's not good. Like, Kentucky gets
– well,
he's the one and done.
Back that one up a little bit. I mean, they're not exactly bad.
What are they winning?
Well, if we're going to be winning for you,
we didn't have March Madness last year.
Okay.
See, the difference between Coach K and that is Coach K is getting four potential one-and-done kids,
yeah,
and probably two or three of them are leaving. Dana gets maybe one every 2 or 3 years. That's the difference. So it's, you know, Coach K can miss on, you know, half those five stars coming in,
yeah,
and his team's going to be fine.
And I mean, he also doesn't miss.
I mean, for Brown being a one and done, he was awful his 1 year. But he left. And Bol was just hurt. It's like, what are you supposed to do with that?
Yeah. How was he last year with the Nuggets?
He was like, okay, much.
Right? Yeah.
I remember they had like those kind of the start of the bubble. They had like 3 or 4 games that they were playing for like the other teams. Yeah. He got decent minutes and looked all right in that, but I don't think he played in the playoffs.
He averaged 5.7 points and 2.7 rebounds last year. Played in 7 games. So yeah. Nothing is the answer.
I just want to say that since Kentucky has won a national championship,
mm-hmm,
they went championship game, runner-up, Final Four, round of 32, Elite Eight, Sweet 16, Elite Eight.
Okay.
I would take
that. Fair enough. Well, I mean, that's what Oregon gets too. So.
No, that's true.
Other than winning.
I mean, yeah, you're not exactly wrong.
Yeah. So I guess my point is that you kind of have to like go into these seasons with these kids like this kind of cautiously optimistic. And it's weird because we have experience with this with Altman, like with, you know, when he first started 10 years ago, by the way, fucking crazy. When he first started, it was all just JUCO transfers just to keep the fucking ship, you know, from capsizing. And they ended up doing okay. You know, you make the fucking CBA or whatever.
CBI, thank you very much.
Whatever, literally whatever, nobody cares. But we do have that trophy, so whatever, rings. but it's different. It's like a full circle situation, you know, because you go from the CBI championship and then you get guys like Kazemi who come play for a season and, you know, make your team decent. You know, Joe Young was fucking fantastic. And then, you know, you turn that into, okay, now we're starting to get some traction. Now you get the 5-star kids, but now you're dealing with the same issues where you have kids like Troy Brown who don't want to be here very long. Even if they don't have a good season, they're like, I'm too good to be in college for more than one season. So I'm just going to go. It was real. Goodbye. You got to temper your expectations a little bit just for that reason, just because the kids have never played together. And they're, you know, they don't know how to play defense against, you know, college level players, that kind of shit. So
it is kind of a reason why, like, I see all the time, even still, people are like, how is Gonzaga a top 5 program?
Yeah.
And it's kind of easy. Like, it's weird.
Yeah.
They don't get, I mean, Zach Collins was a one and done.
Yeah, he's like 4-star dudes. 3 and 4.
I'm sure they've had another, but yeah. He just gets those 4-star dudes. that'll play 2 or 3 years and then just a bunch of solid dudes around him. And so, you know, he does take grad transfers and UW transfers. So, but.
And he's a good coach.
He has the same team for a couple of years, more or less, a lot.
Yeah.
And when you have that and you play in some shit conference like the Zags do, every year you're going to win 31 games.
Yeah, you want to win all your
once
games?
Once you get to the March, you roll the dice. If you're hot, dope. Mm-hmm. You get to the Elite Eight Final Four. They made the title game a few years ago.
Yeah. By the way, that should be, for basketball, that should be an easy sell. Like, to a five-star kid, like, shouldn't it? Like, you want to come in here, we're going to win all the games in our conference, all of them. So if you like winning, come here, win. We're going to get to the tournament. We might win. I mean, you're really good, so you're going to help us win. And then, you know, when that's over, it's been real. Thank you. Thank you. The thing is, and I say this delicately. I understand living where you have to live to go to Gonzaga is a little bit different than.
But you're there. If you're a five-star, you'd be there for 7 months.
Exactly that. Yep.
But we've kind of gone a little overboard-ish on the whole, like, one-and-done slash player empowerment thing. Mm-hmm. Where people aren't honest with Troy Brown and Lewis King. We're like, yeah, you were five-star guys. You're not NBA ready.
No.
And they'll say, well, if I stay another year, they'll just poke more holes in my game. Because the NBA draft is all – it's just – it's like the ultimate, like, meat market.
Yeah.
Where you got to have the measurables, even more so than football.
Yeah.
And so these guys just don't – we just tell them, leave. Well, come for 1 year. Leave.
It's rare. Isn't it rare when you see kids get drafted who aren't at least a little bit of a project nowadays?
It, like, never happens.
Yeah, like – no, it's like the top pick basically is usually that. But I like what kids are doing nowadays. I like what fucking Ball did with his kid. Like, he's an NBA player. You know this. Get out of high school. You're not going to college. Get out of high school.
Can't shoot.
Go play. He can now.
He can't shoot. No, we can't.
No. No, he cannot. You're right. But is he or is he not getting paid?
Well, absolutely. I mean, that's more my thing is the NBA.
You're done.
Is like, hey, let's take this 18-year-old kid or 17 in case of.
No, he took him out of high school, dude.
LaMelo.
He out of high school, sent him to, like, Australia or whatever, and he fucking played there for 2 years.
And like, he scored, like, 8 points a game.
And he got drafted in the top five.
Good for him. I'm not saying that.
Exactly.
He could have balled at Rucker Park for those 2 years. He was still going to get drafted in the top five.
Oh, right. By the way, that'd be the best story ever. You literally just go play street ball for 2 years and you still get drafted. Well, fuck it.
Why not at this point?
Yeah.
One of those kids essentially did that, didn't he? He didn't go to college. He didn't play professionally. He would just, like, sat out the year and just, like, worked out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But he was like the European kid, though, right?
No, it was someone in this draft.
American guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. In this draft.
I can't remember. That's a problem with the NBA. That's a problem like with this year. We don't know who these people are.
Even this year, that maker guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Went to Howard. He's empowering the HBCUs. Good for him. That's cool.
Right.
But he went to a team that's won like 6 games in 4 years. And last week he had a sore groin. The coach is like, yeah, he's probably just not playing this year. Why would we risk his future?
Mm-hmm.
We have no idea. He's just a 5-star guy that will not play a college game.
Oh, yeah, but he's, what, 6'11"?
Yeah, he hits the measurables. Why not? Why wouldn't you take him?
Yeah, take a flyer.
The NBA draft is just – I know we talked about this last week and the week before or whatever, but it's just so weird where, like, Obi Toppin was, like, gagged. The Knicks fans were furious they took the best player in college last year. furious.
I mean, that
instead, some guy that averaged, like, 11 points at Georgia or Arkansas.
Yeah.
Anthony Edwards.
Yeah. Who the hell is Anthony Edwards? I don't know.
Yeah.
Toppin's dropping like 25 a night and pulling down 12 boards. It's like, oh, we don't want him.
We don't want him. His game is too refined.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's, I mean, you know, it's been a while, obviously, but that's what the Blazers did with Dame and CJ, too. It's like you have these guys who actually went to college and are, they're kind of, they're not ready-made, but they're as close as you're going to get. And then you get them, you know they can produce at least a little bit, and then you hope they develop more, which both of them clearly have. By the way, do you see Dame on Instagram? It was like a couple days ago. So he's just like, his warm-ups now are from behind midcourt. So he's shooting from the other side of the circle now, just like pulling up, like just taking all his shots. And I remember seeing, like, I think it was Steph commented on it and said he wants to have like some sort of competition or some shit like that.
I think they said game one, first game of the year, they're both going to do it.
Yeah. I mean, why not? By the way, like, the game has changed. Steph started it. Dame has continued it while Steph's been injured for the last decade. But like,
the downside to that is you get guys thinking that's how they're going to play and they can't.
Like the ball brother, yeah.
Do you not remember seeing like highlights of LaMelo or whatever?
That was when he was like 16 years old, dude. He's been playing professionally for 2 years now.
Yeah, that doesn't matter. I could go play professional and chuck awful
shots.
Oh,
you can't.
I could shoot awful shots all day. I could chuck with the best of them if need be.
Yeah, what did like Bella said he shot like 25% from three?
Yeah. It might not even been that good.
That's so fucking bad to be a top five pick.
But it's like his high school
as a guard
highlights and then his professional ones. He's pulling up from, 10 feet, yeah. You know, where Dame would.
Yeah. Hitting the side of the backboard.
Makes one of 20.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Should we transition to our list now? We're talking hoops
sure.
as well.
Right before we transition to the list.
Yeah.
You
mean like right now?
Just before, right before. Corrections.
Oh, corrections.
Oh, yeah.
We see you and we hear you.
Yeah.
And we'll get to them later.
Yeah, but we're not going to acknowledge you.
Not right now.
Now's not a good time.
No. We're up against the clock.
Yeah, stop asking. Jeez. Know your boundaries. All right, what's our list? Guy who comes up with lists?
In celebration of a game against Mizzou that none of us really watched last night. Top three Dana Altman era Oregon basketball players.
Oof. By the way, this is a fun list to go down. There were some very fun teams and some very fun players. I think you should start.
I will start.
Your number.
I will go Joseph Young.
Yeah, he's also on my list.
I think we can easily have all the same.
Yeah.
Joe Young's one of my favorite Ducks ever. I love him, man.
Loved him.
It doesn't make sense he's not in the league right now, but you know, whatever.
He's getting buckets in China though.
Buckets in China. He's playing for Stephon Marbury now, dude. Did you see that? Do you see who his coach is now? Oh baby. Stephon Marbury, Mr. Like, he was the first one with like a Chinese shoe deal, I'm pretty sure, too. That's what
Starbury knows where the money is.
Yes, he does. Not, by the way, if you follow Joe Young on Instagram, he doesn't need help knowing where the money is. Like he's doing just fine over there. My number three is Peyton Pritchard. It was tough because there's, you know, guys right on the cusp of this list who did not make it, but you know, you got to give credit where it's due, man. Like the way he developed over 4 years, the way he played his last year.
You know, win a playoff game as a senior, or a tournament game as a senior, baby.
Yeah.
Just one.
Yeah, just one. Jeez. Slacker.
All right, I'll go to my number three. It was Joe Young. I'll just go Joe Young.
Make it Joe Young. You don't need to change your list. You already do that.
I like having the same list.
Stick to your guns, Ski. This is like, there's like a short list here. It's going to be like five dudes, basically.
It's pretty much it. Joe Young, then. There you go. Right. Number three.
My number two, Arsalan Kazemi. because it brought hashtag Kazemi slams.
Yeah. Yeah. The international flavor.
Yeah.
Gotta love it.
Shows that we can be friends with Iran, I think.
Yeah. He was, you know, easing tensions. You gotta love it. You love to see it.
It was a walking bucket and a flying dove all at one time.
He really was. My number two is Joseph Young.
Go back to Kazemi was kind of like the new age, like 80 Smith. Like I don't think he really jumped more than 5 inches.
No, he's just a machine.
But he'll grab you 9 boards and run that court a ball layup.
One of the best rebounders who's ever played at Oregon. You know, he only had that 1 year, so he's not going to put up like the huge career numbers or anything like that.
Weren't Kazemi and Young teammates at Houston for a bit? Or am I making that up?
No, I think he went to Rice or something.
Rice, okay, I think you're right. Yeah.
I don't know how I remember that.
Someone's going to correct us and be like, well, actually. Redshirted and then went to Rice. And we love him coming. Correct us. We hear you and we see you.
Yeah, we're just not going to acknowledge you.
Not right now. Later.
No, later on.
Later.
Quit being so pushy. Damn.
So you said your number two was Young?
Yes.
All right. My number two, Chris Boucher. When he was healthy, I mean, he was the reason why they didn't make to the finals. If he was healthy, they might win it all.
Yes.
They do.
They do win it all. Yes. Mm-hmm. 100%. There haven't been many players like him to come through here. Who can do the?
There aren't that many players that have come through college that kind of played.
Yeah,
I mean, Kevin Durant. That was
if you just think about that Final Four matchups that they would have had. Mm-hmm. So he lost to Carolina. Okay, Carolina didn't have NBA big guys. They just had like 3 big guys that were 6'7" and 285 pounds, and just. Over the course of a game, they just wore down Jordan Bell, and they just had to stay inside. Yeah. You bring in a Boucher who's going to run around like crazy on offense, pop out from 3. Those dudes aren't stealing that rebound in the last 20 seconds or whatever that was.
And by the way, he's blocking every single shot you try to put up inside the key too. And he was so good defensively on the outside too, man. He's like one of the most versatile players we've ever watched.
Oh, the closeout blocks on 3s.
Amazing.
It was all over.
God. All right, so we're at year one now?
My number one?
Yeah.
It's Dylan Brooks.
Has to be.
It just has
to be.
Yes.
Everyone hated him.
Yeah.
He had terrible floppy hair. He just made late second shots and just let people know that he was better than them.
Yes, he did.
He pissed off Coach K. He got Coach K. He got in
Coach Krzyzewski's head.
Right in his kitchen. Right in there.
Give me everything.
Kitchen with a K.
Give me everything Dylan Brooks offered. He's my number one as well. Ski, you as well?
Yep.
Yeah. He kind of has to be, man. God.
And it was great because you would watch an Oregon game. Yeah. And you could just get on Twitter or Facebook and just like search keyword "I hate Dylan Brooks."
Yeah,
and he was so hated. It was so good.
That's why your little GIF of or meme of Dylan Brooks with like the devil horns, like doing his like gun to the head one, is like perfect.
It's too good.
Oh man,
love that guy.
I think the weird thing is you combo that with, I mean. He was not very good his first couple years.
No.
You know, maybe even into his junior year that he kind of started figuring out a little bit. Mm-hmm. But it was like one of those things where I remember it's like you didn't want him to have the ball because he was going to try to do something that at the time was too much for what he could do.
Yeah.
Kind of like Pritchard's sophomore and junior year, same thing. It's like all of a sudden senior year, that switch turns, you know, and they're just a stud.
One of the more enjoyable just Oregon athletic games I've ever been to was that Oregon-UCLA game where it was Brooks v. Ball.
Yeah, Lonzo.
God, that was so good. It was so good.
That's the best Oregon basketball game. Best Oregon basketball game I've ever been
to. Number two, maybe? Yeah. Oh, it was so good.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah, by the way, like Pritchard, too. Like you mentioned them figuring it out their senior year because Pritchard's dagger against UW. So, you know, those are really close in my opinion. I mean, obviously the UCLA game was bigger just because of like the, you know, where the teams were ranked and stuff like
sure.
that. Yeah.
Sure.
But doing it in Seattle and saying this is my city after you do it is legendary. Like absolutely fucking legendary. As far as I'm concerned.
It's Husky football, Husky basketball, so
yeah,
it's not the greatest.
Well, I mean, there's history there.
They're not very good. They're not.
I will say it was you know like early in January, yeah. And UW did have like three lottery picks this year.
They always do.
They never win. But it was still great.
They got three more again this year.
Them, I think the best part Alabama about it, and Florida State somehow.
Is they go to the Pullman and lose.
Yeah.
And then they go to Seattle and do that, you know, because at that point the season was tilting.
Yeah.
Right. By the way, Huskies 0-3 this season and got dunked on by UC Riverside by 15. So.
Yeah, it's going to happen, you know.
And they're still going to have three lottery picks somehow.
Absolutely.
They're awfully young. Figure it out.
I gotcha.
I guess we should like transition to football.
Do we have to?
We should probably mention it. No, I mean we could skip it. Should I not talk about Oregon losing the Civil War at all?
I mean,
only a couple things really need to be said about the game. One,
we kind of said it before. Like we said it last week. Like a lot of the things we said Oregon sucked at last week is why they lost to Oregon State. You know?
And the thing that kills me about it is if they just have running backs that weigh more than a buck 90, mm-hmm. they get a first down on that last drive and they just boringly win a bad game. But they're running 175-pound Travis Dye up the middle. who's good in this offense? I'm not saying he's not. Yeah. He's very good in the pass game, but
in very specific things in this offense.
So when,
by the Oregon way, they do have to BB Leakio.
But when Oregon got that fourth down stop with 2 minutes left,
yeah.
I thought it was over. Did
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
Oh, they're going to get one first down.
That's all it takes, really.
They're going to burn all their timeouts, and they'll punch it, and Oregon State will have, like, two crappy plays.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe how. I just couldn't believe it. I'm not used to – even though this is year three of Dye and Verdell, I just – my brain is not – I can't let their svelte physiques
seep
into my mind. I can't do it.
You're really what having trouble with this because, by the way, like think of Oregon's best, you know, backfield ever. Probably LaMichael, Barner, and Dat. The – like three of the smallest running backs Oregon's ever had.
Dat was good for a year. I don't count him.
And LaMichael played way bigger than his actual size. But that said, they were
no. Dead. But touche. But I still just think of like Royce Freeman and drones.
Jeremiah Johnson.
I think of Jonathan Stewart getting stuffed on fourth and one against Oregon State as well. By the way,
yeah, he ran high. He was high pad level.
Yeah, and he had turf toe for 4 years.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
And a bone spur, always in an ankle.
Yeah.
On the Ducks' last drive, though, what was bigger? What did you guys think of the second play call?
Was that
that was the
run?
That was the shuck run.
The shuck run.
You think that was a design call to shuck, or was that just a misread on his part on the read option? Because that guy was literally just standing there, didn't move.
Yeah.
His one assignment was.
I think it was a misread.
I think it was too.
His one assignment was shuck there for sure.
So he's kind of a conundrum, isn't he? Because, you know, he makes these really good plays, but then he, like, the plays he fucks up on are big plays. And he just makes, like, he misses easy reads and just, you know, or will throw the ball right at a guy when he has somebody open over here. It's like, man, like, I know you're in your first year starting. You're going to be inconsistent, but it's like, just don't fuck up that royally on plays like that, and you'll be okay. Like, but well, I kinda, check down Jones. Let's go. Let's Alex Smith this bitch because you have weapons all over the fucking place.
So I did figure out a big thing with Shuck was the two picks. If you go back and watch the two picks, especially the second one, it's one of those times where he gets in his mind where he's going instantly and just stares that down to death.
He
knew he was trying to throw that little underneath route to Red, but the fact that he was staring it down the whole time, the DB that was on the other receiver saw that and came and got that huge interception at the time.
And that is like one of the few – let's just say we project Shuck as a starter going forward next year, year after. That should change. Decision-making.
It's a big thing.
First read to second read. I'll say that could change because he's not great. He never gets to a third read.
That's what you develop. It really.
And sometimes he doesn't get to a second read, as we've seen. Mm-hmm. But I will allow credit that he'll improve there just through playing time. But, like, physically, it's the same thing. I just don't see him. There's nothing he does that stands out to me. Mm. Like, he's not a great runner. Doesn't have a great arm. Mm. Not great size. He just kind of, I don't know. I can't.
So his ceiling is low.
Well, I mean, I feel like it.
Okay.
And I don't know if that's wrong. I've just never seen one specific play where I'm like, ah, that's different. I get it.
His deep ball is really good. Like, his deep ball is elite. It is.
It's again, pretty.
Yeah, for a kid. For a kid playing as, like, his fifth game or whatever, like, it's really good.
But he underthrows him.
Well, remember Herbert, like, when he first started, was just fucking airmailing balls and, you know, just missing guys who had steps all the time. So that shit usually develops, and he's pretty good.
He did that last year, too, which I'm beginning to think was more of an Oregon receiver problem.
Oh, by the way, like, fucking Herbert, I know, like, he's playing great. We love the guy. How many fucking rookie quarterbacks go in and have Keenan Allen and Mike Williams as their targets? It's like, okay, Keenan Allen is one of the best receivers in the NFL, and there's not really a discussion about that. So, like, for Herbert to go in and have that guy, it just doesn't happen with guys who get drafted high like that. Like, it just doesn't.
Like this is a guy who's going to say that Mahomes guy came in and he's got Kelce and Hill and I think that's what you're doing. I see you. Passive aggressive under there. I see you.
Easy. Why does everything have to revolve around the Chiefs?
I'm just saying. That's just. I feel like that's what you were doing.
Yeah, like every NFL conversation has to be about the Chiefs, right?
Well, I mean, they're the best. I mean,
do you want King? Do you want like 20 or 30 seconds to make fun of the Ravens by chance?
Oh, they're just. I just didn't even watch it. Why would I watch it? And it didn't matter if it was RG3 or Lamar Jackson. That was just what was going to happen. They didn't need COVID. They're just the worst. The Ravens are the worst.
Their big play came from McSorley.
McSorley. You want to know who Tyler Shuck reminds me of?
Yes.
Trace McSorley.
Yes. Yes, he does.
Which that means he's an NFL quarterback.
Yep.
And can we just say that the Steelers are the worst 11-0 team ever?
Oh, by far. Yeah.
Well, so I would say until recently, they have been very dominant. And so they just haven't looked that impressive in recent weeks. But they've been really good this year, dude. Like, Roethlisberger's
been great. Are they your Super Bowl pick?
Okay. Oh, Super Bowl pick?
Are they?
Fuck no. It's the Chiefs.
Okay.
Are you kidding me?
Okay.
Oh, by the way, as somebody who has had Lamar Jackson on their fantasy team all season, he has not been good. Like, he has not been good. So,
well, to go back to the Ducks and Kings point here.
Yeah.
You said, you know, how Shuck's like McSorley.
Yeah.
Well, they have Moorhead. They have McSorley. What's the one thing missing from that Penn State team and this Duck team?
Saquon.
They don't have a Saquon. They don't have a running back like a Saquon Barkley that's big and can run.
Yeah.
There's the one difference.
I do love Moorhead, though.
We could be that Penn State offense right now, essentially.
I do love Moorhead. He's great.
Yes.
Yes.
You watch those nerds break down film on his just Oregon stuff so far. Every position is a threat. Every single play, he stresses the defense, like, vertically, horizontally. Like, every position is just stressing someone.
Yeah.
Up the middle, on the seams, it's the boundaries, it's...
There's something open every single play.
Basically. It's a really good offense. Like,
that sounds similar to like the Andy Reid scheme.
Sure does.
You just send people. You got people deep, middle, and short, and cutting across.
Yeah.
Someone's going to get open.
Yeah, all you have to do is have a couple of athletes and a quarterback who doesn't, you know, has a good arm and makes good decisions, and you're going to
like
win.
Just watching.
You could have a quarterback.
Watching the Moorhead Oregon offense, I just kind of have this like vacillating thought where I kind of sit there and watch it and go, huh, I really wouldn't want to see Shuck under Arroyo.
Oh, God.
And then I think, man, I would have loved, just keeping it sort of recent, I would have loved to see what either Marcus or Vernon could have done under Moorhead.
Vernon Adams was like the biggest tease ever, because he was, God damn it, if Vernon Adams wasn't like really, really, really good.
He was like, really good.
Really good. And then he goes out against Eastern Washington and like, what was his like finger? He like broke his thumb or something. Yeah. God damn it. Like, Oregon kills Michigan State if Vernon Adams is healthy.
Oh, yeah.
Kills them by, like, 40 points. It's not even close.
I mean, I maintain they make the playoff.
One-handed.
I think they make the playoff if he's healthy. They lose to Alabama in the first round, like Michigan State did by quite a bit. But
if there's Oregon's had some really good transfers over the years. You know, like, LeGarrette Blount was one. Like, Maurice Morris was another one. Like, I think out of all of them, I think I would have taken 4 years of Vernon Adams over all of them. Just, at Eastern Washington, he was that good too. Like, he was phenomenal. And just a playmaker. Like, he's a playmaker. He's like the definition of playmaker. Like, he's not incredibly physically gifted. He's short as hell. But he makes fucking plays. He does, like, left-handed throws. He does, you know, he throws off his back foot against Arizona State for a game-winning touchdown. Like, other guys don't make those plays.
I maintain that he was more fun to watch at Oregon than Marcus was.
Yeah.
Marcus was better. I'm not saying that. Marcus was better.
And he had more, like, you know, games to go off of as well. So.
Right, but Mariota was, like, so good, it was just kind of – you took it for granted, and you looked out of it in college, and you were like, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Vernon, I don't know why Vernon was good. I just know he had a nose piercing and dabbed on those fools.
Oh, why, man. Why was Masodi good? He did not throw a great football.
No. He would just run through people's souls.
But he managed to complete a pass.
He did.
I don't think there's been another player who, at the end of a game, would, like, go to the first row and grab his son down and be like, hey, let's take pictures with my son. You want a picture with me?
He held him up like Simba. It was great.
Yeah. It literally was Simba and Mufasa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nah! Or Rafiki. Yes. Rafiki and Simba.
Yeah. Excuse me. Yeah, we don't – yeah. Mm. Yeah, we don't want to go there, do we? Although he did, you know, break his thumb, so kind of. It's a stretch. All right, so shall we get to – I mean, there is some NBA to talk about. The Lakers, as we talked about last week, are going to win the title the next 2 years at least, because they got LeBron for two more years. And then they got AD to that, like, max extension. And so I don't see – how and when the Lakers lose again? Fair?
It'll be an injury.
It would have to be, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
And it's probably going to be Anthony Davis, because who are we getting here? Yep.
I do love how between like young AD and almost 36-year-old LeBron.
You know, he's the one.
Oh, yeah. The AD is going to be the one that gets injured.
Does that say more about AD or LeBron?
Ooh.
Yeah.
I'll say AD.
LeBron, scathing our age. Yeah, LeBron our age being able to take care of himself the way he does.
Yeah, yeah.
Impressive. Yeah.
Yes, it is.
All right, how about the Westbrook and Wall trade? So I had this is actually one of the trades I had heard about, like a rumor that this was going to happen like a couple weeks ago, and then it ends up happening. So, you know, Houston gets Wall in a first round pick for Westbrook. And now we're never going to hear from Westbrook again, by the way.
I think we're only going to hear about Westbrook now, because he's going to go back to when he was by himself in Oklahoma City. He's going to average a triple double again, but they're not going to make the playoffs.
So the Wizards had Beal and Wall, and the only time you ever heard about them was when they were in the playoffs losing games. Like, I see Westbrook being the same, because that's a black hole of an NBA franchise. Like, you go to that John franchise Wall and basketball. Nobody hears from you again. Like, nobody cares about that team.
I mean, when John Wall has to play, that's a big thing when you pay someone the most on a team.
Yeah,
dude's barely played the last 3 years. Yeah. And Beal's been getting hurt too. So when you see it's like a Kelly Oubre team, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So when you add Westbrook, I mean, Westbrook's going to put up his numbers. They're not going to win.
Is Kelly Oubre a Wizard?
Isn't he?
No.
Exactly.
I thought he was a Sun. I thought he was on the Suns and got traded like 2 weeks ago.
I thought he was on the Wizards and got traded.
Exactly.
name a Wizard player. Go.
No.
Troy Brown.
Russell Westbrook.
Troy Brown.
There you go. There's the franchise.
Kelly Oubre.
They got like, was it?
Okay.
Kelly Oubre is a Warrior, by the way.
Damn it. Beat me to it.
Eon McHugh.
How did he become a Warrior? By the way, also got engaged this offseason. So
that's what I'm reading. Yeah, good for
congratulations.
Him.
Congratulations to Kelly Oubre.
He was the Wizard, though, but last year he was a Son.
Yep.
So he actually won some games. Good for him.
They got him from Oklahoma City for a 2021 protected first-round pick.
And you want to know what I'm just finding out?
You can't unknow that information, no matter how hard you try.
He went to Kansas. I thought he went to Gonzaga. I don't know why.
Yeah.
He just looks like someone that went to Gonzaga.
He's got a Roni Turioff thing.
Maybe he's a Rui Hachimura or whatever.
Rui Hachimura?
Yeah. I don't know.
Was it Norvell? Same guy? It's like.
Yeah. I can't believe he went to Kansas. I have to look into this, so I'm going to be offline for a sec.
Yeah,
I want to know if he played at Kansas with Simmons and Embiid. Because that would be great if they had three of those guys in one, like, one tournament.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you dig into that.
I'll pose another question
to Braga is, is either of these teams better with this trade?
No!
Does he get better with Wall?
I literally think this is a push. Like,
First-round pick. There's the winner. They got the pick.
Is it, though?
Well, it depends if it's protected. I didn't hear if it's protected or not.
I don't know that matters either, because it's not going to be a top five pick. And if it's not a top five pick, then it's a, you know. Hey,
you get lucky and Harden gets hurt. That team's bottom of the cellar.
Yeah, yeah. So Harden hasn't moved.
No.
So that's a thing. Like, that's kind of the big surprise so far, is that Harden is still there. Because he does not want to be there. Like, he does not want to play for them, because the owner is, you know, big Trump guy.
Well, the other problem is that Harden is worth a lot of money, like Westbrook was.
Yeah.
But Westbrook was terrible, so they traded for another terrible, high-paid person.
Yeah.
There's no good player that a team is going to trade to eat that contract.
That's what I'm saying, is it's a push. So you know, as Blazer followers, the conventional question now after that is like, well, Portland couldn't have traded CJ in a first-round pick for Russell Westbrook? would they want to do that even? I know we've talked about that.
Well, no, no one in the world. I don't even think the Wizards wanted to do it. They just wanted to get rid of Wall.
I mean, I'm pretty sure they wanted Westbrook a little bit.
No, they didn't. No. No one wants.
No. Watch them, wave him to dump the contract.
They wish that'd be awesome.
Yeah. I'm looking at the Kelly Oubre draft.
Yeah.
So I just want to read you the picks. He was the 15th pick, right?
Sure.
He's going to read you 1 through 15. Karl Anthony Towns, number one.
Yeah.
D'Angelo Russell.
Which, by the way, Karl Anthony Towns has not – like, he started out hot, but he is not really good.
He's still average. He still averages 20 and 10.
No.
Yeah.
No. Jahlil Okafor.
There's a little bust.
Bust.
Yeah.
Zinger. Mario Hezonja, number 5.
Oh boy.
And number 6, Willie Cauley-Stein, because he's 6'11".
Yep.
Good job, Kings.
Emmanuel Mudiay.
Good job, Jazz.
Okay.
Stanley Johnson at number 8.
Job,
at number 9, Frank Kaminsky. Ooh. To round out the top 10, Justice Winslow.
The guy who killed Oregon, right?
And then Miles Turner, Trey Lyles, Devin Booker at number 13, Cameron Payne, who is just known to be a meme and a gif for dancing Russell Westbrook like 4 years ago. And then Kelly Oubre Jr. Bob, the NBA draft is wild, man.
By the way,
Sam Decker was the 18th pick that year.
Damn Wisconsin, guys. By the way, I was very much wrong about Karl Anthony Towns. He is really good. Fair enough. I thought he had fallen off. He has not.
So what do you average last year?
So he played 35 games, averaged 26.5 and 10.8 rebounds. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah,
I think you're probably thinking maybe of Wiggins with them. Wiggins is kind of –
Kansas and, yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Minnesota, yeah. I don't know what I was thinking. But he has not been bad in the NBA at all.
Nope.
And
I think you were thinking of Wiggins.
He's averaged a double-double. I must have been. Yeah, that's weird. All right, whatever. So, we should get to bets.
Picks?
Oh, forgot about it. All right. Oh, yeah, picks, because we don't, we're not a licensed gambling organization. We don't advise anybody to go out and gamble because it's illegal or something. No, that's not true either. I don't know.
Well, not until we're sponsored by the Oregon Lottery.
Yeah.
download the Oregon Sports app. And
yeah, by the way,
corrections. Correction. We hear you and we see you.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a lot to get to.
Yeah.
We'll get to them later.
Yeah, we got stuff.
I'm going to get to one right now.
We got a checklist. You're on the checklist. You're on the checklist.
Just one. Yes. You're on the checklist. We see you and we hear you. But I'm going to just get to one. So I called Donnie 3D and Aloha Boy.
Mm-hmm.
I have been corrected. He is now a Beaverton boy, spelled B-O-I. He's a Beaverton boy with fingernail polish emoji, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
The rest of the corrections, the important ones, we'll get to them. We see you.
We have
We hear you.
Yeah. Guys, we have a checklist. You're on it. Just relax. Relax.
Spreadsheets.
Yeah, relax.
Stop yelling at us.
Aloha means goodbye. Aloha means hello to Beaverton. I don't know. That's a stretch. Please start talking about games. Yes.
Picks. I'm going through it right now, looking at a tabulate. So, winner of the week was me with 3 points. Thanks to my mighty Beavers with an asterisk pick win.
Your Beavs.
Braga, you had 2 points. King had 1 point.
Well, that was it, right? The Beavs was like my lock, right?
You had Auburn as your lock.
Oh, foolishness!
That did not turn out well.
Yeah,
and King had the Ducks as a lock. They did not win. So I win the week. I get a shirt.
Homer.
I take the lead on the overall.
You get a shirt that's like already in your garage.
I already have like three of them too. Right, so two picks. All right. First game, Stanford, Washington, Huskies, 11.5-point favorites.
I'm going Stanford to cover.
Oof, interesting.
No, I got Washington. Yeah. Stanford sucks.
I got Washington as well.
Yeah.
Even though Washington's,
you guys know that through three games, Washington's quarterback has 4 touchdowns and 3 interceptions.
I didn't know that.
Not great.
Did you know that Stanford is a pile of turds?
I did. I also know that Utah sucks.
Only to be,
and they were up 21-0. Yeah, and it should have been 28-0 if a DB decides to cut it up the middle at the end of the first half instead of just running out of bounds.
Brutal. That's a brutal loss.
All right, next game. We got Colorado, 7.5-point favorite at Arizona.
My Buffs.
Tough Buffs.
Yeah, I'm rolling Buffs as well.
I'm riding that train.
Well, I think I picked Arizona every week too, and they're not good.
They're not good at football. Yeah.
All right. Next we got Chipper heading to the desert. ASU 2.5-point favorite.
So ASU's playing.
Yeah, well, technically, as of right now, yes.
Okay.
Possibly UC, not.
I'm going UCLA, my Bruins.
Yeah, same.
I'm going ASU just because they barely played, so they got to be fresh, right?
That doesn't mean they're good.
Doesn't matter. They're fresh.
They are, yeah.
I'm sure half like, these games will get –
they're coughing up a COVID loan right. on the field.
I'm sure half these games will get canceled anyways. Just yeah. picking – all right, next game we got Beavs at Utah. Utah, 11.5 points.
11.5 points. What is happening there?
Utah.
11.5.
As you just said, Utah's awful.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
And do you know who Oregon State's quarterback is?
I do not.
I don't either. It's not the starter. I know that.
Wait, so Utah's an 11.5-point favorite is what we're saying?
Yes.
I got the Beavs.
Ooh. He's going to ride the Jefferson train and
fuck yeah, run he's the ball. Great. Jefferson's great.
Oh, quick, go back to the Duck games.
Yeah.
Good news from – the only positive from the Duck game, we never have to see Camden Lewis ever again. So.
That's true. Yes, it is. It's a good point.
We got
good
the thing. Cattleman.
Yep. Yeah.
We got porn stash, ex-soccer player, Cattleman.
He's like from Malibu, too. God,
yes, he does not look like a guy from no. Malibu. Especially when you call him the Cattleman. Like, cattle that is man. Not Malibu.
Cattleman, rustling hoochies. Anyway.
All right, next game we got Cougs.
Before, did you make a pick on that one, Ski?
I took Utah.
Utah? But yeah. Okay, just real quick, and then I'll move on. Do you guys think Verone McKinley really was doing cheap shit when he pulled on that leg of Jibia? Did you guys see that replay?
Mm-mm.
I didn't get a great look at it. I thought he was just kind of getting, you know, you pull guys out of there.
Okay, yeah, okay.
Trying to get the ball, yeah.
Well, no. It wasn't cheap. It was the play he got hurt on.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
No.
No, he didn't pull like a Ken Shamrock, like, ankle lock on him and, like, drag his ass out. I think he was just pulling. I saw a leg pulled on it.
I saw one of the Oregon State official recruiting sites call it one of the dirtiest plays they've ever seen because McKinley knew that Jibia was hurt. I'm like,
oh. Are they like, are they?
Yeah,
are
how
they
would he 16? Know that?
Are they 16 years old?
Scrum.
Have they been watching like football Jibia. For 5 years? Like, what are we talking about?
She was like, I know dirty things happen, but that's one of the grossest things I've ever seen.
I mean, Jibia
was targeting before that.
That's what they're saying. That's what she said, is he knew Jibia was hurt, and that's why he pulled on the leg.
Oh,
cool right. story.
Yeah.
Cool
yeah.
story.
All right, back to it. We got Cougs at SC. SC 12.5 favorite.
Are the Cougs getting their players back?
Unknown.
I'm going to go SC.
12.5 is a lot.
But I feel like this game is probably going to get moved to Pullman like uh-huh. by the time we wake up. By the time we're up tomorrow. There's, yeah, it's in Pullman.
By the time this podcast finishes recording.
Yeah.
I have Washington State.
Ooh.
And I don't feel confident about it.
All right, for the game, we got our bonus game here. Game I threw in here.
I love this.
We got BYU, Coastal Carolina.
Love this.
And BYU 9.5-point favorite.
BYU, why not?
Sure. Yeah. What's the team? What is Coastal Carolina? Like, what's their team name?
The Chanticleers.
Oh, the Chanticleers. Okay.
Which is like a fancy rooster, I think.
Yeah.
Which I'm learning that in the lower middle Atlantic region, they just call roosters wild things.
Yeah.
It's a gamecock.
Yeah.
It's a Chanticleer.
Make shit up. Yeah.
It's a rooster.
They make up French words. And call
or like Virginia Tech, it's a turkey, and they call it a hokey. It's just a turkey.
Right.
That doesn't make sense. I'm going with my shanties.
The shonts?
My shonts.
I'm taking Coastal as well, because fuck BYU.
Yeah, BYU does suck.
I just want them to lose. Fuck.
I do hate them.
Yeah.
All right, and last game, Ducks, 9.5 favorite, Cal.
Ducks.
Going Ducks.
That's my lot. Cal is not good. Cal just lost to Stanford. Stanford is terrible.
Ducks are my lock as well. Ducks are pissed. I think they actually – the defense is going to have to play better. So I think they're
– only play better. Jesus Christ.
So Ducks are winning by over 20.
Yeah. Yeah, I got Ducks by three touchdowns too.
Okay, well, BYU is my lock.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Go Cougs.
Yeah.
That's him. That's the picks.
That's the picks. All right, let's get to trivia as we wrap up. So the Ducks, playing Cal as they are this week, we're going to do some Cal trivia. I think we should probably let Ski start because King continues to dominate the school-centric trivia.
We were both really bad.
Last one was not a good one.
We were both really bad.
You guys both were terrible at Oregon State. I think.
Hey, I said bad, not terrible.
Nobody got to five. Five wins. Nobody got to five.
We were the Ducks and the Beavers defense. Neither of us were very good.
Yeah, nobody really showed up to that one. All right, Ski. What is the official name of Cal Stadium?
Nate Longshore Stadium.
Got him, Saul. Still one of the best signs I've ever seen at a game was that Oregon game against Cal where a kid in the front row, literally, that's when I was a student, so it was like 2008 or 9, it must have been 9, where the kid in the front row was holding up a sign of a picture of Nate Longshore with a speech bubble that said, "God, I'm soft," and it said, "Longshore loves Zima." Ugh, it was a work of fucking art, man. A work of art.
So I'm correct, right?
What's that?
I'm right, right?
No, you're not, unfortunately.
No.
King, your options. The Cave, Golden Stadium, or California Memorial Stadium?
Memorial Stadium.
No, it's California Memorial Stadium. So you're wrong.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I even read it out for you, bro. Read the name.
That is not.
That's your problem. You don't listen. That's your problem.
California Memorial Stadium at Kablam Field.
First of all, I don't sound like that, but okay. King, who is the only Cal player to rush for 2,000 yards in a season?
Javid Best.
Incorrect. Ski, your options. J.J. Arrington, Justin Forsett, or Marshawn Lynch?
That's a tough list there. Mm-hmm. Well, good thing. I was thinking Shane Vereen for some reason, so I'm glad that's out of there. I think Arrington had a huge season. I'm going to go J.J. Arrington.
That is correct. 2004, he ran for over 2,000 yards. All right. King, your question. Right?
My question. No.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Who is Ski? Who is the only Cal player to rush for 300 yards in a single game? Bonus point for the team he did it against.
Shane Vereen.
Incorrect. King, your options. J.J. Arrington, Javid Best, or Jerry Drew?
Javid Best, Washington.
That is correct.
No way.
Yes.
I just figured he was fast and yep. Washington was terrible.
Yep. 2008 against Washington.
That's great. That's
yep.
great.
Yep.
How many yards?
Amazing, by the way. So you got 2 points for that one. All right. So now this one's back to King, right? Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. What is the name of Cal's mascot?
Oski.
That is correct.
And he looks like a pedophile.
Yes, he does.
The original pedo bear?
He should be.
Ski, who is Cal's all-time winningest coach?
Tedford.
Yes, that is correct. 82-57. Ahead of, yeah.
Yeah.
I would name second and third, but you've never heard of him before. Maybe Pappy Waldorf. You ever heard of Pappy Waldorf?
Yeah, oh, that's what Waldorf? I was going to say.
Oh, right. Pappy Waldorf?
Oh, Pappy Waldorf. Yeah, he was third.
Was Pop Warner a Cal coach or was no. he a Stanford coach?
That was Stanford, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
We've been over.
When was Pappy Waldorf the coach?
I don't know. I think it's like the 60s or some shit. I don't know. It
was there. That's later than I thought. I was thinking the 20s or something.
All right, King. Aaron Rodgers spent 2 seasons as the quarterback at Cal. He's currently 10th in their career yards list, 8th in touchdown passes. Why only 2 seasons? Because he transferred from a JC. What is the name of that junior college?
Butte Junior College?
It's Butte Community College. I'll give you that one. I'm not going to give you the stadium one, but I will give you that one.
Said Memorial because you said California Memorial. So sure yeah, did. It's Memorial one.
Just, apparently you're not listening. That's fine. By the way, so Aaron Rodgers apparently wanted to go to Florida State to play for Bobby Bowden, but never got an offer to Florida State because they had already signed a 5-star quarterback, Joe Mauer. Like the baseball player, Joe Mauer. 5-star quarterback, signed with Florida State, ended up choosing baseball instead.
Smart play by Mauer.
Interesting tidbit. All right, so King leads 4-2. And this one goes to Ski. This future NFL coach, who went on to lose multiple Super Bowls, coached Cal for 3 seasons in the 60s, going 8-29-3. Who is it?
'60s is throwing me off because I thought Mooch coached there for a bit, but that couldn't have been in the '60s, could it?
Mariucci only coached like one season, and I don't know if it was entire season. Yeah.
I got no one then. I got to go Mooch.
Okay. Do you know this one? I'll give you your options. All right. Dan Reeves, Marv Levy, or Don Shula?
Don Shula won Super Bowls. Marv Levy lost 4. Dan Reeves was a Broncos coach, and Elway's a fucking loser. So it's Dan Reeves.
Dan Reeves lost 3. The answer is Marv Levy. Marv Levy was the coach of Cal. I think it was
how many Super Bowls did you say he lost?
Dan Reeves lost 3 Super Bowls.
How many did Marv Levy lose?
4.
Oh, okay. I misheard you.
Yeah, no.
I said 2.
No, I said he went on to lose multiple Super Bowls. Coach Cal for 3.
Gotcha. Yeah. 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 Okay. My bad.
Okay. Well, it keeps Ski alive. So this one does. Hey, this one does go to King, right? Yes. The Cal record for most interceptions in a game came against Washington State in 1974 and is held by a guy who is now famous because of his coaching and broadcasting career. Also had a long playing career with the Eagles. Who is he?
Pete.
Who?
Herm Edwards.
It is Herm Edwards.
Oh.
Yep. He got four. He got four interceptions in a game against Washington State in '74. That's bonkers.
Jesus.
Yeah. All right, I got a couple more here. King, that's a win. You got five. All right, for both of you guys, how many Rose Bowls has Cal won?
Zero.
Zero.
Two. They beat Ohio State in 1921 and Alabama in 1938. It's a good time to beat Alabama.
If you're gonna win two, make it over Ohio State and Alabama.
I'm saying,
Wisconsin wins a little weaker.
Yeah.
They went to a lot of Rose Bowls back then, by the way. Cal did. I want to say it was like eight or something that they went to in that span. It's crazy. Damn. Yeah. Cal has a bunch of famous alumni, as you might imagine. Rube Goldberg, like the Rube Goldberg. Steve Wozniak, a few actors. Two of these actors are the stars of the revamped Star Wars franchise. And I was going to give you the option for 2 points here, if you can name both of them. Now, here's your hints, and they're pretty random because I didn't want to give it away. One of them played Jack Ryan in a movie. The other one will forever go down as the man who popularized the term MILF in American Pie. Who are they?
Sean William Scott and John Krasinski?
Yeah. That is incorrect. Chris Pine and John
Stifler.
Cho. So Stifler isn't the John one who said MILF.
That's right. It was one of John Cho.
It was John Cho, yep. And then Chris Pine obviously plays Kirk in the Star Trek movies. So, all right, that's it.
Of course.
Of course. Everybody knows that. Yeah.
Everybody, yeah.
All right, well, King with another dominant win. Yawn in the school trivia. Ski's got to brush up on his Pac-12 knowledge.
And the good thing is
I got some
I'm just going to continue to dominating these because movies are dead now. So yeah. Ski can't even have that of them. They don't exist.
Okay,
have fun screaming that shit, dude.
Movies from the 80s are always alive.
The Breakfast Club. Yeah. Ali Sheedy.
Spinal Tap. I got nothing.
John Hughes.
Not a fan of those, really, you know?
No?
John Hughes movies, never really liked them. Yeah. Like Breakfast Club, like 16 Candles.
16 Candles.
It's like, eh.
I did like Breakfast Club. 16 Candles didn't do it for me.
Breakfast Club was eh.
Like people, you didn't like the...
They put that on a pedestal, man. I'm just, eh, it's okay.
I mean, didn't like the overtly racist, like, Asian exchange student?
Oh, boy, right?
Yeah. The Donner needs food. That's all you need to know.
That was kind of the era for that, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, they very recently stopped being racist towards Asian people in movies. Very recently. John Cho is a pretty good example of that, actually. He's living the life because of that. Oof.
Was John Hughes Home Alone?
No.
No.
No?
Wasn't that like Chris Columbus or something?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
The guy who ended up doing like the first two Harry Potter movies too. I'm pretty sure that's who it was.
Oh, well, I don't know.
It was. It was Chris Columbus. You didn't see the Harry Potter movies?
Fuck no.
Interesting. Well, my favorite Home Alone.
If I wanted to watch Wizards, I would watch Russell Westbrook, okay? I don't want to watch Hogwarts.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't dig those adolescent wizards out there?
No.
Just.
I do love driving around, though, around town and seeing, like, the women, like, that are my age, you know, now. As they can see 40s, being like, House Haragoti or something on their stickers on their minivan. I'm like, I don't know what that means, but I know those glasses and a lightning bolt. That's a Harry Potter thing.
Do they have a bumper sticker that says like, does it say like team, like House Hufflepuff or whatever that is?
Yeah. It's those things.
Yeah.
Well, you, sir, definitely sound like a Slytherin with all this talk.
Team Edward, baby.
Nice. I think we all agree, though, that Home Alone 2 is the best of the Home Alone movies.
No.
Lost in New York. Come on, baby. Come on, baby. Trump. We're a MAGA podcast. Come on. Well, and on that note,
I got a quick correction here also.
was it that Home Alone 2 is not the best Home Alone movie?
We are not a MAGA podcast.
Well, we might pivot to MAGA podcast here soon if we want to make some money.
Exactly.
Quick correction. My correction is for you, Braga. Green bean casserole is delicious.
False.
There's a correction for you.
Fake news. Green beans are not good. Green bean casserole is terrible.
It is incorrect. The correction states it is good.
The correction stands. Is it? Well, we need the. That's why we have three people here. Is the third person has to make a rule.
You know what? I this just in from the AP Wire.
Mm-hmm.
Green bean casserole is good.
Ooh. All right, I've been overruled. You know, this is a democracy. This is a democracy. Hunter Biden's America. This is a democracy.
Just one last, like, Thanksgiving adjacent thing.
Sure.
Do you know the difference between stuffing and dressing?
Ooh. No. I don't know what dressing is.
Apparently it's a Southern thing and it's more soupy, but it's made out of the same stuff.
Yeah, it's the same thing pretty much, right? Okay. Yeah.
But it's not something you cook in the I don't know.
I was just wondering stuffing is technically only stuffing if it's in a bird.
Yeah.
Right? I think dressing is more of like because a bread pudding.
Yeah. Mm. Huh. I bet it's good.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah. Stuffing's the shit.
I love stuffing.
Yeah. I don't even mind it when it's like box stuffing, you know?
That little stovetop.
Yeah, it's just good, man.
Yeah.
Can't fuck with it.
Bread and salt and seasoning. I mean, what do you know?
Yeah, sign me up.